Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You're not supposed to laugh. I'm pretending you're not here. I'm Ash Riot, and Cheryl Catherine Smith decided to no longer do the show.
That's right. I quit.
And she is now living...
in Istanbul.
In Istanbul, with four frogs and two brothers.
From another mother. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show, everybody. Tonight is Sunday, May the 19th. Shout out to Joy Ramon. It's his birthday today. He would have been 62.
Oh, wow. I thought, okay.
We love the Ramones, so I always the people that I respect and admire who are artists and musicians and writers, I always like to acknowledge their birthdays and, well, as well as their death days, just because we matter.
Yeah, and 33 years ago yesterday was Ian Curtis of Joy Division.
That's right.
That's when he passed away.
He passed away. He would have been 56 today.
Joy Division is amazing.
We love Joy Division. We love the Ramones. And we love the people who played in those great bands and left their legacies for us. So, yes, we honor you. We acknowledge you. And we say happy birthday, man.
Happy birthday, man.
And no, I'm not in Istanbul. I decided, you know, I thought maybe that's where I belonged, but I changed my mind. This is the first time, actually, that Ash has introduced the show, because I always do it.
Yeah, I've never introduced the show before.
Well, here, why don't you give it another try?
No, that was good. That was enough for me.
Hi, welcome to the Ash Riot Show.
This is the Ash Riot Show, and today we're going to talk about...
What would you talk about if this was just your show? Just right now, what would you want to talk about? What kind of mood are you in today, Ash?
I talk about mixtapes.
Yeah?
Or...
the lost art of mixtapes? That's a good topic.
Probably just...
although music. It's not a lost art in our friendships, because we definitely make mixtapes. We still make mixtapes, because in my car, I have a tape player.
Yeah.
Along with a CD player. And we also have a tape player at the retreat that we go to.
Mm-hmm.
There's no CD. Well, there's a CD player, but we use the tape player.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're old school, man. We're retro.
Exactly. So, we like old school stuff.
So we actually quite literally continue to make mixtapes.
Why not?
And mix CDs.
And see, mix CDs, you could probably make 40 in a day. Mixtapes, you couldn't. I mean, how many hours in a day are there?
But that's why a mixtape is truly...
the most important thing.
Quite important.
I'd probably just talk about that, and then I'd talk about some bands that I like that I've been listening to a lot.
Would you talk about tattoos? Because I know on your Twitter page you've got, you like Mexican food, getting inked, and making mixtapes.
I haven't gotten a tattoo in...
how many years?
Over 3 years.
Wow.
So, because how long has it been since I've met you?
I've known you for over 3 years, so you must have just gotten a tattoo right before
yeah,
I met you.
Yeah, that was the last one I got.
Wow, she's pointing her tattoos out to me.
Yeah.
The last one she got, right by her, the crux of her elbow there.
Yeah, that was the last tattoo, and...
the title of one of her songs, Slow Blood.
Yeah, and I just see right now that I have spaghetti sauce on me.
How exciting. Yeah. But you know, when you have tattoos like you have, you don't even
notice
the spaghetti sauce.
I forget that I have so many tattoos until someone points it out to me. And they're
they become like you know how you're on your body, you know, whether you have freckles or beauty marks or whatever, it all just becomes quite normal and you don't even notice anything anymore.
I know, and then someone's like, "Whoa, you have freckles." It's like,
you're like, "Do I?"
Okay. And you don't. Okay.
So sure. Then you're like, you have tattoos.
Yep.
You're like, oh, yeah. And then when I love it when everybody starts asking you about them.
Everywhere I go.
What does this mean and what does that mean? But I seriously, personally, I'm always intrigued by people's tattoos because I think that whatever person has put on their body in the form of a tattoo, it says so much about them. It's like a huge story attached to each tattoo.
Not always, I can say, because I've met people who don't. There's not a story.
They don't think about it. I think some people just do it because they think it's trendy. But I think most people that do tattoos take it quite seriously, and they really think about it, and it has a lot of meaning.
Exactly. Like, I know people who kind of been, like, apprentice tattoo artists or whatever, and they just have friends, and their friends are just sitting around doing it. And sure, that could be a story, but...
well, I mean, you actually had an encounter when you were in California when you were doing a show. You're touring, weren't you? And you met a tattoo artist?
Oh, yeah. I went just for a holiday with my family.
I thought you were doing a show.
No.
And okay.
I met a really cool tattoo artist, and I got... that's the only tattoos that I've never got in Canada.
Well, there's your story.
I got stars on my knuckles.
Because you met a tattoo artist and you ended up just getting something you never really thought about.
Yep. Exactly,
right? So there's your story.
Yeah, there you go.
And I have a story about tattoos.
What?
You want to hear my story?
You don't have one.
I never got one.
That's a good story.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of sums up our show.
But
principles versus personalities.
How come you're not even asking me why I never got a tattoo?
Because I already know.
Why didn't I get a tattoo?
You can never decide on anything that you want to keep for the rest of your life.
That is true.
So
I would want to change it, and then I'd be pissed off. I would get a tattoo, and probably a year later, I go, oh, shit, I don't feel that way anymore.
Yeah.
I got to change my you know, like Johnny Depp changed Winona to Wino.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, that is funny.
So, I mean, of course, when you're in the depths of love, you're going to put anybody's name on your body.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably try to change it to something else.
Yeah, that's true.
So tell the people what our... So now that we've been speaking totally off topic and not at all about what we were going to talk about today, what's our
subject? The show is The Power of Discovery, Personality versus Principles.
Well, actually, it's the importance of discovery, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Principles over personalities.
Yeah.
We're so on the ball. We actually are on the ball. It's Sunday. It's been a long day. We had an interesting evening last night DJing. Great group of people, but it's stressful. Sometimes, you know, DJing can be stressful, especially for weddings.
Yeah,
and
it can get really crazy.
We kind of stress ourselves out, too, because the thing about doing weddings, and for those of you who have been married or have gone through a wedding, you know how stressful it can become because you have this idea of what your wedding should be like. And you actually, to the letter, and sometimes we've actually had wedding planners give us their itineraries, and they're to the minute. We've had to the minute, no kidding, itineraries. And at 7:32, the MC will say this. And at 8:49,
at least you know when you get married again, you're not going to have to worry about a DJ. Because I'll do it for free. And I know what to do. And you're not going to have, like, and I can be the wedding planner. And
then I can be the bridezilla?
No. Then I'm going to charge you.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a bridezilla, I'm going to charge you.
No, it's just sometimes we all have an idea of what our day is going to be like and the perfection. And so we feel that stress, too, because we definitely want to lend to a really great evening, not mess up for somebody, and especially when we're doing their ceremony.
It's more pressure to be at a wedding, like to DJ a wedding, than it is to be in a big like band on stage.
Well, it depends on the situation. What if you're a wedding band?
No.
There's enough.
It's still not as pressurized as like you pressing a button, everyone can hear what you're doing. I'd totally rather just have other people on. Well, I have you up there with me, but you know what I mean? Like, it's music has more room for error than like a computer glitch.
I think what it is people allow for more error.
Yeah.
Although, you know, we've talked about this before too. The American Idol judges that are now in the audiences, they've, you know, self-proclaimed American Idol judges now are a little less, you know, forgiving. But generally people are pretty forgiving when you're a live musician.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're working with equipment, and your computer glitches or something.
Then, like, if your song just gives out and everyone's on the floor dancing, that's not really going to happen with a band. You know? So, yeah.
Everybody in the band stops all at once.
So we're going to start the show with one of our songs, and we're going to just kind of still give you the offer, and this will be the last for a while. If you call in, you're going to get our new song. We still might offer one of our older songs for you. But this is your last chance for a while until we get our new tune up on iTunes for you to get it first. We're going to offer our song, I'm Back. Just call in, listen to it, we're going to play it, call in, and if you do, hey, you get a free song. And we're really stoked about this song. So we're going to give you the call-in number, 888-627-6008. Listen to the song, call in, then give us your email, and the song is yours. So whenever Dawn is ready, we would like you to hear our song entitled I'm Back and Go.
Highway, I'll pass you like grass in my dusty trail of you.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was our song, Hologram. I'm backed.
Colin!
I feel really guilty. I must express this. My guilt is this. Is I actually tweeted not that long ago that we were within hours, because we were quite literally within hours of releasing it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're having problems. I'm not as computer savvy as I wish I was or could be.
And we've potentially kind of done a few final versions of it.
So I feel badly. So for those of you I've been promising it, it has been our intention to get it out, but we've just been kind of been met with some glitches that were
and
beyond our control.
And our glitches also consist of writing other awesome songs.
Well, that's kind of true. We're getting so sidetracked.
We're getting so sidetracked.
Writing. And I'm very grateful because I feel very blessed and very prolific. And we are some pretty fabulous songs are happening. Even if I do say so myself, I think they're quite fabulous. I get excited when I love the music that I'm co-creating. It's really exciting to me.
Mm-hmm. One of the songs that we did actually last week, 2 weeks ago, I guess. I think it was the night of our last radio show. I listened to it over 40 times that week.
That's a lot just a demo. Of times, I know. Man.
And it's not like I'm egotistical or anything. When there's a good song that's powerful, I listen to it. It doesn't matter if I wrote it or someone else.
Well, I feel the same way. It's because, again, like a lot of artists have talked about this and saying that they can't take credit for their own, for things they create, because there is something bigger in outside of us that just basically allows itself to come through us. It's quite magical and marvelous and wonderful. And I want to say thank you.
Well, yeah,
to that magical, marvelous thing.
Thank you to everybody. And we're going to get on topic, but we just want to give you the call-in numbers one more time. 888-627-6008. Call in. If you call in, you get a song. You get that song for free that you just heard.
And it hasn't even been released yet, so yeah. you'll get a pre-release.
And, just call in about anything we say. Just call in. It's always good to hear from you. And, you know, we hear from Don that there's some great listeners out there. And
we know a lot of people are shy. One of the biggest things that people are intimidated by is public speaking. And I guess, in a way, when you're on the radio, it's public speaking. If you feel more comfortable saying you're someone else, then that won't bother us.
Like, your name could be Roseanne, but you could call yourself Tyler.
That's right. You say, hi, I'm Tyler in your feminine voice. And we'll go, okay, sure, man. That's cool.
I have to move back on the seat because my legs are so short.
Yes, you have short legs. I have long legs. And we coexist. See, we can live in harmony. And now that brings us to topic.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that cool? You like that segue?
That was really nice.
All right, so tonight, our hologram radio show, we are live. We are, in fact, live. This is not a pre-record unless you are not listening on May 19th.
May 19th.
If you're listening on any other day past May 19th, we're not live.
2013.
That is correct. I didn't even name the date. That was a faux pas on my part. Tonight, our show's called The Importance of Discovery. I wanted it to be the self-discovery focus. Using principles, not personalities. Now, that latter part came from me. For those of you out there who are familiar with the 12-step programs, you know what I'm talking about, because I was involved in a 12-step program when I first cleaned up from drugs. And that was 15 years ago now, 15 and a bit. And I was very involved. It was part of my recovery program, actually, to involve myself with the 12-step programs. I say kudos to them because they keep a lot of people clean and sober and give people back their lives. And one of the things that I learned when I was participating in those programs was they would do a reading at the beginning of every meeting, whether it was an AA meeting or an NA meeting or any kind of meeting that's to do with 12 steps. They talk about the principles of the program. And so one of the things that stood out to me when they would speak about the principles of the program is they talked about, they ended it with principles, not personalities. And I always thought, wow, if we kind of took that on in forms of government and leadership and companies and coexisting, how great could that work out? And it could be anything from a small society to a large government. If we were focusing, like truly focusing on principles, and I don't like the word rules as much as I like the word principles. I think rules, for most of us, it kind of automatically gets our backs up.
Mm-hmm. As soon as you hear rules.
Yeah. So I really love that. Principles, not personalities. So what we have to do then, we've all got our different personalities. And I may not necessarily like your personality. You may not necessarily like mine. But that doesn't mean we can't coexist.
Most people like mine.
Well, yeah, that's true, Ashley. Probably more people like you more than they like me. You're very lovable.
You're lovable, too. Because, see, what's different is you're so lovable, even if you're more upfront and forward. I wish I could be more upfront and forward. And you at least, you know, you give it like it is. I wish I could. I sometimes do.
You actually are getting more and more
I know, aren't
comfortable
getting
in giving
Didn't you
it.
Notice when we were arguing today that I'm more like you now?
Well, you're not taking on my personality, but we definitely can learn
yeah.
from each other, right? And
yeah.
the things I admire in you, I'm taking on too, because you're you know, softer and you've got a lot of kindness and a lot of patience and
so
tolerance
do you.
And
you're getting it.
Yeah, I'm getting it. Thank you. But getting back to personalities, not, you know, principles, not personalities, this is why what I find in my lifetime when I'm actually, you know, in relationship to others is where I find the most frustration personally is where I'm dealing with someone who is so close-minded and who has actually believed, like you can tell that they truly believe, even at a young age, that they know
mm-hmm.
the answers.
Yeah.
And I've actually been guilty of that myself. I look back to even when I was younger, you know, a lot of it is based in fear, but we don't know that. We just think it's all about bravado, but it's actually lack of self-esteem as opposed to a great sense of self-esteem. And when we're young, a lot of us are very fearful and we're, you know, we're still discovering, we've got self-discovery happening and you got the ego there and, so you're dealing with all sorts of emotions. You're dealing with finding, discovering yourself, whatever it is you want to call it. But, you know, for us to say that in any point in our life, whether we're 15, whether we're 25, 35, 45, 85, I truly and sincerely believe that it's important for all of us, regardless of our age, to constantly and always be open-minded. Always, always be open-minded. And I think a lot of people are fearful because they believe that if they're open-minded, they will succumb to suggestion. It's almost as if there's this belief that if I open my mind, someone will come in and penetrate and take over.
Exactly.
So a lot of people are guarded unnecessarily because that's ridiculous. Who could take over what you truly and truly sincerely believe to be true for yourself? There's nothing wrong with being open-minded
and listening to
something and
look at what,
mull it over and then you say, no, not for me, but at least be open-minded to something to someone else.
I agree with that, but look at how things are. Like, even like, what was this? What was I listening to? Oh, I was listening to The Smiths. And it's like a definite line that like a lot of like Christians or other religious people have, and it's the devil will find work for idle hands to do. So if you kind of open your mind or open your hands and you know, receive rather than always have to be busy thinking, a really large consensus is that if you kind of give up the work, the mental work or, in this case, physical work, whatever, there's going to be room for not good penetration, but negative penetration rather than new discovery. Ooh, I just totally tied in our topic.
Don't you love when that happens,
yeah.
Ash?
Mm-hmm.
So explain that a little further.
I don't understand why people say that. Like, the devil will find work for your idle hands to do.
Because it's about creating fear. And if you create fear, you can control.
So is that kind of what you mean by, like, people... See, because that's what I really take what you said as, is like, when you open your mind, you're kind of getting all the busybody out of it. You know what I mean? And you're making room for things to come in.
Exactly.
But why do people automatically assume that could be negative?
Well, that's just the thing. This is what we're discussing is, you know, if we look at our planet and we look at every single country and every single person on this planet, and there's over 7 billion people of us, you know, currently here, 7 billion people, each of us. How is it that we have young men bombing innocent people in the United States of America recently in Boston? How is it that we continue to have war? How is it that we continue to have even, why should any country starve with the amount of wealth that's in the world? Why is it that we have people that are dying of diseases that many have actually proclaimed to be healed or being able to be healed with, you know, not expensive drugs.
And we have the information, like, that's plain as day sometimes, and we're so easy to deny it. Like, the other day, I saw a discussion on Facebook, and it's true because the facts have already been determined that if we just stopped eating meat, all the resources that we feed the animals that we use for meat could feed the world like 10 times over, the entire world,
yeah,
and end world hunger forever if we just stopped eating meat.
Yeah, and I was first introduced to that when back in my last residence, there was a vegetarian restaurant, a vegan, I think. Well, no, it's vegetarian. I think it's actually
Paradise.
Was it vegan?
It was all vegan.
It was vegan. It was called Paradise, and it was up the hill from my house. And everything, we would go there.
Vegan.
Everything was vegan. It was absolutely delicious food. And I would read the literature that they had, and that is exactly what the literature was, is that all of the grain and all of the products,
water,
the water, the grain, all of the food products that are necessary to feed all of these animals that we're slaughtering to eat, it's exactly was that, is that there would, it's creating pollution, it's creating starvation for people, which is really ironic, isn't it?
All we'd have to do is just switch our diet.
So if we just stopped eating meat, this is what this literature was saying. If we all just, and I know that Yoko Ono and Paul McCartney, people who are proponents of vegetarianism, I know that they've even said, just don't eat meat like one day a week. Mm-hmm. Even if people just stopped eating meat for a day a week or a couple days a week.
Yep.
And that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually going to be full on vegetarian within a day. Because I still am eating fish and fowl, which is kind of what was my diet. Now I'm thinking, well, wait a minute here. If I can make myself feel better and make the planet
energetically
and make the planet a better place, then why wouldn't I? I'm going to still be able to survive. I can live being a vegetarian.
It's tasty.
But again, it's not about telling everyone that they should be vegetarians. This is what I'm talking about with the open-mindedness. I wasn't open-minded at one point in my life. I thought vegetarianism or veganism was ridiculous. I remember when, you know, years and years ago when I worked for a health magazine publishing, a book publishing company, and everybody, you know, we had all sorts of people in there that were very health conscious and health kind of crazy, actually fundamentalists. And, you know, we had raw foodists and we had people that wouldn't let certain things, you know, in their diet, and they were careful about the water they drank, and you weren't supposed to drink this water or that water. I mean, it was quite something. And so I was exposed to a lot of different ideas about what food we should eat. And oftentimes, of course, you'd have people that were so passionate about their diets that they would be telling you that you need to do this too. And so right away, I wasn't so open-minded because I'm going, well, hey, it's good for you, but what makes you think that it's good for me? And it is true that each of our bodies require different things, and we have to be in tune with ourselves to know what that is. But I am more open-minded now because I'm thinking, instead of me turning a blind eye to the harm that the animals are going through, many of the animals are being hurt and needlessly slaughtered and without their permission. I had a really sage, I will call him a master, actually tell me this about the situation. He said that we see in the past, thousands of years ago, when they were into sacrificing animals for the purpose of, you know, serving God or their gods and whatnot, the animals themselves were in fact in agreement with that happening. And so it was like a mutual exchange and an understanding. But what I was told that's happening today in our world and our planet at this time is that these animals have no say. None of them are being asked, would you like to be, you know, can we please kill you so that you can feed a family of 10? And I know this might sound kind of crazy to some of you, and at some point, I'll be quite honest, it would sound completely ludicrous to me too, but I understand it now because I
have opened my mind up a lot. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, I feel that I have greater freedoms because I open myself up to other people's concept, other people's ideas, other people's experiences.
And that's why personality and principle can coexist.
So the, well, but yes and no, because if I mean, there's certain people I know personality wise, I don't get along with.
Mm-hmm.
We're just kind of like oil and water.
Yeah,
and even I've tried, and they've tried, mm-hmm. and it just doesn't work. But my point is, with this topic, is that just because I don't particularly like their personality and they don't like mine,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean we can't actually work together.
Or even some ideas that they put forth. I mean, even with talking to the master you're speaking about, like, even if he or she was to say something, like, that you didn't quite understand or that you didn't quite agree with, it's about seeing their point of view.
Well, being open to, the fact is that nobody else has had the life that I've had because it's my life. It's exclusive mm-hmm. to me. My family probably has had similar lives because they've grown up in the similar cities, similar situations, economic situations, mm-hmm. educational upbringing. But then when I'm talking about someone who's on the other side of the world, who has been brought up, perhaps even lived in, like, doesn't live in a house with running water, doesn't have a toilet,
yeah.
doesn't speak my language, doesn't have my religion as to call their own. They have their own.
Mm-hmm.
How can I say to that person, how can I have the egotistic, like,
just spill it out.
It's just, to me, it's just so egotistical, and it's so damaging for me or for anyone to say to another person who has no connection in terms of our experience, this is how you should do it, because I know what's best. How yeah. dare we do that?
I know.
How dare we do that? And that's what I mean by having an open mind. That's why I think travel, when my son graduated university, I was so on him, you have to travel. You have to experience the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I wanted to do, but I didn't have the funds when I was younger to go and do a lot of traveling. I said, you know, this is something you need. It's so necessary. And he did do it. He did it, and he came back a richer person, and it was richer in terms of his experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you actually travel and see that, oh, not everybody lives like I do, or, oh, not everybody believes as I do, oh, not everybody
You're more cultured in many ways.
Not everybody understands the world or sees the world the same way I do. And who am I to say that the way I see it is the right way?
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I said, you know, for this topic, I just wanted to say and share how my own life experience, I mean, instead of, I'm not preaching to you guys because it's not my intention. I'm just saying I've had to come full circle myself.
Well, exactly. I mean, even from working to the Live magazine and thinking even vegetarianism was crazy to, you know, actually seeing it from a new point of view.
I didn't think it was crazy. What I thought some of the extremism was a little bit off. What I actually saw, quite honestly, is I saw people who were vegans that weren't doing it right, and they were really sick.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going, well, why is this a better way to eat? If you're actually looking very gray mm-hmm. and very, like, very scary, like it was not a healthy thing. So I was going, well, how is this better? Because I don't see you as a healthy person. But the way I see it now is, you know, in order to be any kind of, whatever we decide, we're ultimately responsible for what we ingest. And I do believe that we are what we eat. And I think we forget that.
Yeah, especially energetically.
Or we disassociate.
Oh, I'm guilty of that. Like, I was such a hardcore vegan. And then
Yes, you were
and
for
then,
years.
And then I dissociated, and I wish I didn't.
Well, that's okay. Again, it's not about flagging ourselves or flogging, I mean, and, you know, and bad Ash, bad Cheryl. It's just about kind of going, hey, you know.
Getting back on track.
Exactly. Tried it, didn't like it, you know, learned from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where open-mindedness comes in, too. And I'm dealing with my frustration around people that I find extremely closed-minded. And, you know, rather than me trying to force open-mindedness down their throats, it just reminds me how important it is for me to remain open-minded.
Oh, yeah.
And I really, truly don't believe that we'll have world peace if we don't start focusing on similar principles. And I'd like to say the number one principle that I think we need to focus on is love.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, totally.
And if we all focused on love, I think first of all, I think religions would basically just sort of disintegrate and become just a loving community as opposed to a separate kind of entity. And that's a whole other topic. We're actually talking about, we wanted to do a topic. We'll probably do it in 2 weeks. And Ash came up with the name. Do you remember what you said?
No. if you ask me things, even 5 minutes later.
We were talking about this when the song was playing.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about our ideas and what we feel about abolishing religion.
Because don't abolish the love.
No.
Don't abolish even the love of a creator or the love of, a higher power or anything. Just the sect of it.
Well, it's just about abolishing that which doesn't serve us. And ultimately things that are about discord and disharmony and hatred and separation, they all come from a sense of one person or a group of people feeling that they are separate. Mm-hmm. And then taking that separateness and making it into better.
Yeah.
And so this is what we all have to be aware of in our own lives, aware of in our own cultures, aware of in our own religions and philosophies. Do we actually believe that we're better? Do we actually feel that we are truly separate from everyone else? It's them against us or us against them? Or do we feel connected? Do we feel a sense of connection to a neighbor, to a stranger? Do we feel love and a sense of kindness and wanting to be an extension of that love and kindness to another, or do we just kind of think people are in the way? And I think we only can answer that for ourselves. And it kind of says about, a lot of it is about how we feel about ourselves first. And a lot of us sort of focus on the external and we forget that everything starts within us. It's how we feel about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I fully agree with you.
And so a lot of people want to point fingers. Now it's funny because we like to watch Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares because we just love Gordon.
He's so cool.
He's fantastic. I love him. He says it like it is. I don't mind the swearing. I'm usually go Gordon go. And we watched that. Ash was really wanting me to watch the one that everyone's talking about right now.
I saw with my mom last week, and it was the episode with Amy's baking.
It's called Amy's Baking Company in Arizona.
And they also, it's not just baking. I mean, they have like a restaurant in there.
Yeah, it's called ABC, mm-hmm. Amy's Baking Company.
Wow.
And it's a husband and wife. And so I watched this episode today because they had it on, I guess it's called TiVo. What's that called?
Oh, I'm like the PVR.
Yeah. And so Ash has been wanting me to watch this since it came out. It's one of the newer episodes. I watched it today and I was just astounded. And as a result of watching this, I went onto Facebook and I started to look up their Facebook page because I was hearing from a friend. He told me that apparently they were just being horrible to people on their Facebook page. Because there's a backlash, I guess they didn't like the way they were represented on camera. And I think they were represented exactly authentically as they are. And I'm looking at their Facebook page and I was astounded, quite frankly, to see that they had 94,400 hits.
But you know why they have that many likes? Is because then people can read about them. It's not even like the 94,000 people.
I know,
like
but it's kind of sad. It's such, it's bad press when someone's being really, like, they're an example of disrespecting themselves, and therefore, this is what I see. This is my opinion, everybody. I see that they disrespect themselves so much, they overcompensate and say that they don't, and it's everyone else, and they lash out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's horrible how they treat others. I mean, you think about what I kind of wrap my head around it because it's easy to get really offended by someone's horrible, horrible behavior when it's abusive and purposefully aggressive and purposefully harmful.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to sort of look at a person like that and say, "Ah, but they're hurting inside," because our first instinct is like, "What assholes?" You just kind of want to, "Oh, I'm going to distance myself. That person is just right," and kind of laugh and judge and on and on. But I was kind of thinking about her, and I was thinking about what is it that she is so, so afraid of. You know, it's interesting when you try to peel the layers of anybody and you just go, why would someone behave that way? There's something underneath it all because there always
is. You look into that woman's eyes and they're scary, though.
Yeah, she's pretty, I think she's really, really kind of stuffed under all that. I think there's a lot she's got to kind of come through. But, I mean, ultimately, I do believe that everyone's pretty damn great. You know, underneath everything, underneath our abuse, underneath our issues, underneath, I truly do believe that.
So how do we work with the principles that we have and try and either unwind them with our personalities or keep them at least comfortable with our personalities?
Well, I think the first thing this is just me from my experience. What I learned and what I understand is that get the personalities out of the way in terms of recognize you're going to be different and don't try to not be different.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be even worried about how different your personalities are. Let that whole concept of trying to make somebody see it your way, just let all of that go. And have some kind of mutually understood set of principles. Now, a lot of religions and philosophies have already done this. Governments have done this. They've done this with laws. They've done this, you know, what are our laws? These are the things that we're going to abide by. That's sort of the same thing as saying a principle. It's like, we've agreed that we will abide by this law, right? Well, what principles do we want to abide by? We have to come into acceptance and understanding what they are. And that's why I think, you know, love kind of blankets it all. John Lennon talked about give peace a chance. You know how we have foundations? I think love is the foundation of everything. If we focus on love of self and love of others.
There are millions of pipes in the sewer system.
We've had this show before, but I really do believe that. I sincerely believe it. It is the foundation of every other thing.
But
it brings peace, it brings harmony,
But do you think that love in acceptance. General can blanket it too much? Can blanket a lot too much? Because you're just going to say, well, you know, that's about love. But sometimes people are thinking, oh, yeah, man, it's about love. But then they forget to show respect.
But that's what I'm saying, Ash, is love is the foundation of respect, even.
Oh, I agree. But there's so many people out there that just kind of have this attitude, like, they almost, because they think it's all about the love, they almost resign themselves from even being passionate about anything because they're just like, let it be, let it be.
No, that's why I had an argument about this one time with somebody who was in this 12-step program, and I was a brand new person. This person had a few years clean. I was new, so, you know, what do I know? But I remember having, and I say that rather facetiously because I still believe that I knew things. I had an argument because I was sitting in a meeting at one point, and there was a group of young men, and they were from a recovery house, and they were extremely disruptive. And I felt in that instance that they should have been told to please be quiet, or you guys, why don't you just leave the room? Because they were disrupting the entire room. Nothing was done. And afterwards, I said to this woman, I said, you know, that was really uncool. Someone should have said something because they were disturbing the entire room, the flow for everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't someone just say, the person who was chairing the meeting, why didn't they just say, hey, man, you know, why don't you guys just head outside? And when you guys have finished your conversation, you can come back in.
Yeah.
Nobody said anything. And she said to me, I'll never forget this. She goes, yeah, but that's just about, you know, just letting things go and just being okay with it. And that was where I was faced with it. I said, that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, that's bullshit. Because if we all let everything go, how is that being respectful to ourselves, to other people?
It's not.
So letting the love in doesn't mean we're doormats.
Oh, no, I don't. That's not what I'm saying. But some people do have that. Not expectation, but they have that mindset sometimes that it's almost like just being lazy. And sometimes to me,
it's hard.
Sometimes I agree that it's easy to let go and not care because you just don't want to associate yourself with having to really go overboard and care more about other things than you already have time to care about. But it's, I don't know. I've seen people just kind of be too chill about stuff.
Yeah. Those people are usually high.
You're probably right. But at the same time, some people aren't.
I'm kidding. Kind of not, but kidding. I think there's a difference between love and apathy. I think personally, I think apathy is far more destructive than hate.
But if you're just really chill, sometimes it can be pretty peaceful. It's just not so regimented.
But everybody has to find their kind of happy medium. And that part of my personality, my personal personality, is I'm a little bit of a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
So that comes out naturally.
Yeah.
Whereas you are more chill.
That's true.
Right? And we coexist.
Mm-hmm.
We're best friends. And we, you know, it's really great. We learn from each other. But we're not purposely trying to destroy each other.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting. You know, why do we have people in this world? You know, so many people that, like, even going back to that couple with that restaurant, reading their Facebook page, how people are just so destructive. And one thing Ash said that I loved, you said this about the internet. You know how people can just leave random comments on anybody's YouTube page if they allow it? And all the stuff that is said that is so dark and so negative and so destructive. And, you know, they call themselves, you know, golf lover 123, you know. So golf lover 123 says, you suck. I can't stand you. I hate you. You are a beep, right?
There is not one video on YouTube that you can click on. And there is, like, don't get me wrong, there's intelligent conversations on a lot of them. But there is not one video, unless comments are disabled, that you click on and there isn't at least an argument or people fighting.
And they start fighting with strangers.
Yeah.
So someone gets incensed, and I'm guilty of this too. I've read things on pages where I get, my blood starts to boil. Like, how dare you say this about my favorite artist or whatever, right? And I want to, in my head, I'm ready. I've actually even typed things out because I.
Yeah, and then she reads them to me.
I just, no, because I've made a decision for myself.
And then you don't send them.
That I get it out, but I
it's
don't.
Therapeutic.
Send it. Exactly. So I don't think, I think it's important for us to be responsive and be authentic in our feelings, but it doesn't mean we have to do it. That's the difference. And that's part of, again, getting back to what do we each decide are the principles that we choose to live by to maintain harmony,
mm-hmm.
to maintain a sense of peace in our own lives that we want to. I cherish peace in my life. I don't like drama.
I can't stand it.
I've been in drama. I've created drama. I've been down that road, you know. No, thank you.
It's lame.
And people, there's a lot of people who are addicted to drama.
I know.
And I've even, you know, said thanks to, you know, it's nice to have known you, to people who are addicted to drama in my life too, because I just don't want that. It's imperative to me that I maintain a sense of peace. And I want to be that person who, you know, to others too. It's important to me. I don't want to be someone that makes others stressed. I would like to create a safe space for people to be who they are, even in our work, even in our creations, our songs.
Well, you know what I was going to say is Trader Bob asked if he could tweet questions in last time. We
did
forgot.
He? Oh, no.
Remember?
Did you check the Twitter?
Oh, no, I didn't.
But I don't know. Are you listening? Are you listening, Bob?
Bob, if you're listening, just call in. Just call in. You listen, call in. We like you a lot.
I'm actually going to check my Twitter page right now. We've got Twitter, Hologram Music. If you're on Twitter, check us out. Hologram Music.
Yeah.
Hologram Music.
Tomorrow night, I think we're also going to do a vlog.
Yeah, that's our intention.
Point. Our intentions are at some point we're going to do a vlog tomorrow. But who knows? We were up so late last night DJing, and then I don't know. Who knows what time we'll get to our stuff tomorrow?
It's all good.
Yeah, so Bob, Ash's mom, whoever else, Brent, if you're listening, call in.
Betty.
I know that some of my students listen. Some of Cheryl's, we have listeners that we know quite well, and then we have listeners that we don't know.
And we welcome all of you. So I'm checking the hologram page right now, and no, it doesn't look like our friend
Bob has tweeted.
I feel badly that I didn't check last show, and he had tweeted a question, and I apologize, Bob, for when you listen to this after the fact.
I'm eating a jelly bean that's a sour one. Now, all my students fight for them until I got better candy, and then now they don't want them. And all the better candy's gone, because I give my students candy at the end. And it tastes like perfume.
Doesn't most candy?
No.
To me, it does.
Sour Keys, Jolly Ranchers, those are good.
I'm not a candy. I don't love candy. Ash is a candy lady.
I'm not a candy lady.
The candy lady.
No,
can.
I'm not. I used to. The only candy I could eat for years was Sour Patch Kids because they're vegan.
Yeah, but now you're not vegan. You're going back to being vegetarian.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And there you have it.
I'm not a candy person, except when there is watermelon Jolly Ranchers.
Then she's voracious. That's part of her teaching tactics. Have a bowl full of candy in your teaching room.
Yeah. If anyone out there remembers, the candies called, oh crap. What are they? Sour, what are those? Oh, I had it in my head. You know the ones. They're those really sour candies that came in like, it was like a little spaceship. Sour, I just had it in my head too. Those little blue candies, and then they started taking them off the shelves because apparently there was too much blue dye in it. It would turn, like, your entire body insides blue for 2 weeks.
Oh, that's terrible.
I loved them. I loved them so much.
Well, are you sad that they're gone?
Sour saucers, I think. Something like that. No, I want them back. Also, if anybody knows what this is, does anyone remember Wheat Crunch? Do you remember Wheat Crunch?
No.
My mom would buy it for me. For school, because I loved it so much. Oh my god, there's nothing out
what
there.
What is it?
It is the best snack in the world.
Snack?
Wheat Crunch came in like this little, it could come in a little pack or they had bigger ones, but they were like individual size or a little bit bigger. And it was these wheat snacks, and they were these crunchy, tiny, tiny pieces of wheat. And so it was like, it basically looked like a big, like a little bag of, you know, like little wheat pieces.
Wheat grains?
Wheat grains, the size of like little rice grains. And you could get different flavors. And it was really good for you, too. And it was like this, just five.
Unless you have an allergy to wheat.
Right. But my favorite was salt and vinegar. Ooh. And I just loved them. And I also, but this was the best. They had honey flavor. And it was so good.
Well, you know, that's the great thing about the internet, Ash, is you can actually Google this.
They don't make it anymore.
Really?
Yep. I found out that they don't make it anymore.
So you're hoping that somebody who potentially is listening to us
will make me Wheat Crunch.
Maybe even in the very city or town that creates that
Wheat Crunch
delicious snack.
Yeah, I want it back.
Well, email Ash at hollow-gram@live.com.
Please give me Wheat Crunch back.
And let her know about the Wheat Crunch.
Please give it to me.
And again, we're going to put out the offer that our newest single that is yet to be released on iTunes, we will give it to you for free if you call in. Or, you know what, if you just send us your email, we'll send it to you. And there are no strings. I know a lot of bands, and I've done a lot of seminars on how to see. You know, it's tough being a DIY musician these days. You got to do everything yourself. And sometimes you don't have a lot left over for being creative. So it kind of defeats the purpose.
I want to be in the reincarnation of Nirvana.
Well, there we are.
Chris Novoselic, call me. Go on.
We'll play with you, Chris.
Yeah, you can be the keyboardist.
No
singer.
Problem. You're going to get Chris to be the keyboardist?
No, you.
Oh, I'm going.
I'll play drums.
You be the drummer, and then Chris can be our bassist.
Yeah.
And Dave Grohl can sit in once in a while and play the cowbell.
Or I could reform Joy Division. That's more my style.
There you go.
Actually, no, it's not.
Well, why don't you just stay in a hologram? We'll see how this goes. But getting back to being a DIY musician,
I'm so close.
A lot of people will say, well, you know what? You need your email list, and you need a really great email list, and you got to collect all these emails, and then you got to keep your fans all excited, and you got to give them things, and then get their email addresses. But you know what? I say, bopkiss. Send us your email. You won't go on any mailing list. Maybe people think I'm an idiot because I'm not collecting them. But if you want to be on a mailing list, we'd be happy to put you on it. But there is no strings attached, honestly. If you want our song, send us. We need an email, obviously, to send the MP3 to you. We'll just share it with you because we feel like it. And we have, it's about the love, but it's also, we have a lot of faith and trust, and things are all going to be great, not only for us, but for you guys. And I'm going to sign off because I'm kind of bagged.
Yeah, we're going to sign off, and we're also going to, right now, it's Ash's mom on line one. We're going to end the show with her.
Sure.
Okay, so Ash's mom on line one, enjoy.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Fine. How are you doing?
Fantastic.
Oh,
we don't
good.
Have much time left, there- but do you have anything nice to say to us or not nice?
Very nice to say to you guys that you guys are just wonderful people and you care so much for other people and animals. You've got such compassionate hearts. And I wish I could be a vegetarian, but I don't know.
You have the heart of one.
What's that?
You have the heart of one.
I have the heart of a vegetarian. My sister's been a vegetarian almost all her life. And another sister tried to be a vegetarian, and I'm the other sister that sometimes tried. But you know what? I'm making a commitment here to not eat meat for 2 days a week.
Wow.
Well, that's
hey.
A good thing.
Yes.
Yoko would be proud.
Yep. Yep.
Tomorrow, what are we going to have
Who?
For dinner? When we come over to do the songs, we could make something non-meat.
Well, veggie ground.
There yeah. you go. Awesome.
Yeah, but you get gassy from it.
Oh, God. We're not on the phone. We're on the live radio show. Oh, my God. So, anyway, I was in Canada. Remember when I met Amy Ray of the Indigo Girls and Dad was talking to her about the weather in Georgia? Do you
yeah.
remember that?
Yep, yep.
And I'm just
and you were melting into the floor.
And I'm going, oh. And he
yeah,
asks,
yeah,
after,
yeah.
after she says she doesn't know what it's like, he asks her again.
did he talk to her about vegetarianism?
Nothing except the weather. And it was so funny. And then he was telling her where he was from in Ontario. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, well, you've met a lot of celebrities, haven't you?
Yes.
That, well, there is a very good ending to this evening, and you know what it is.
Dessert.
Yeah.
Dessert?
Cappuccino cheesecake.
There we go.
See everybody? We just have, that's why our radio show is so cool, because we just talk, you know, like we're talking on the phone. And so this really is a glimpse into our private life.
Quite literally.
Yep, yep.
Well, thank you for the call. Do you have anything else to say about Prince?
No, just love you guys.
Okay, well, do you have anything to say about principles?
I don't know. I just did. Hey, you know what? I just did. Remember? I'm giving up meat for 2 days a week. That's
there
a principle.
That's awesome. And
yeah. So
great leaders of schools, too.
So instead of kissing a tree, kiss a cow on the lips.
Well, there you go, Jan. That's one of your... I want to yeah. swim with the dolphins, and you want to kiss a cow on the lips. So we're going to have to make each other's oh. animal dreams come true.
Doesn't
well,
anybody want to know
cow,
what mine is?
Not a big cow.
What's your mammal dream or animal dream?
If I could have any yes. animal dream in the entire world, like the entire world...
What would it be?
I wish to be in a room with, like, every kind of cat... Like the hairless cats and the black cats, white cats, all these
Himalayan
of cats,
Siamese,
and I just want to kiss them all. I can't hug every cat.
I think
no.
you should put in a YouTube video.
Yeah. Well, thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Okay, love you guys.
Love you too. You. Thanks for
okay. Bye.
Bye.
So that's that, everybody. We had a great time with you, and go kiss a tree, listen to our songs, check out our YouTube. We're going to vlog in the next couple of days. Have a good one.
Yeah, and enjoy your lives and enjoy who you are, and let's all just kind of focus on what principles we share. Love you. Bye.